Luke 2, 1 to 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinus was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had happened. What had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
People do so much preparation for Christmas. You know, there's all the cards that get sent out, the presents that get bought, the wrapping that has to be done. And what I want to do at the start of this sermon is to recreate a typical scene from many households over the last few days. And I will need three volunteers to help me with this. Yes, okay, Joel. Tilly, do you mind being volunteered? I think you'd be an excellent person. I think, so we'll have a Joel and a Joel volunteered person. I'd love to have one more volunteer, if that would be okay. Someone from over this side. Yes, that would you mind? Please. Brilliant. Right, come on, guys. We are going to have a wrapping competition. So you guys have got, I'm going to give you, I think, 90 seconds, possibly flexible 90 seconds. And what you, so there are going to be prizes not only for speed of wrapping, but also for neatness. Okay, do you think? Now, so what I'd like you to do is each segment of the church, I would like you to cheer for your respective wrapper. So if you guys could cheer for Joel, that'd be great. And you guys, Celia, and you guys, say, there's a lot of cheering is required. I've also just lost my phone because I'm going to time you. So don't say. Right, are you guys ready? You may prepare that. That wrapping paper was being. No, you can't. Yeah, no, but that wrapping paper was in use last night, and it didn't quite get straightened out afterwards. Okay, so we are going to give you, if I can work my phone. my phone's set to 52 minutes, but that might be slightly too many. Okay, are you ready? Ready, steady, go. Okay, so the 60 seconds. Okay, we're gonna count down from 10, okay? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, stop. Guys, well done. You have all done amazingly. Let's give a huge round of applause for our wonderful volunteers. So, in Christmas, so often is like that. You know, there's weeks of preparation, there's the anticipation, the excitement, the chaos of the day, and then suddenly it's all over. It can be a bit of an anticlimax, but how can we ensure that Christmas is not a complete letdown? What are we left with after Christmas? Now, it just so happens that conveniently, rather like in Blue Peter when they said, here's something I prepared earlier, I just happened to have this dustbin of things that you might find outside the back of someone's house this afternoon. And I wonder, what would a visitor from another planet make of what had happened today if they were going through our dustbins? I'm not entirely sure. So, let's see what we've got in here. So we've got some wrapping paper. Oh, a little bit of discarded tinsel. That's great. And let's see what other things can we find in here. Oh, some Christmas cards. Look, oh, it's a wonderful, look, it's a snowman. It's a seal. Who's ever seen a seal on a Christmas card before? Apparently, eight out of 10 Christmas cards have things like snowmen and seals and reindeer and stuff like that, which only leaves about sort of one or two cards out of 10 will actually have a scene on it that's got anything to do with what Christmas is really about. Let's see. Ooh, more wrapping paper. Slightly overdid the wrapping paper. Old roll of sellotape. I think whoever was using that sellotape probably decided that it didn't work either, so they struggled away. Oh, party popper! Hooray! Very exciting. What else have we got in here? We've got a tie. Now, look, is that tie just not epic? I heard about a lady who gave her husband two ties for Christmas, and he thought he'd be really tactful and wear one of them down to breakfast on Christmas Day. And all his wife said was, didn't you like the other one? You know, some people, you just can't win. Right, what else have we got in here? Oh, so much rubbish. Oh, look. Mince pie, delicious. Oh, a bit of leftover sandwich. Mmm. Turkey again. The Christmas CD. You can't beat it. Do you guys have what was people's favourite Christmas tracks? I always find it rather depressing when you start your Christmas shopping in sort of, or you know, in November or even the end of October these days, you start having exactly the same playlist, which you know is going to be going on for the next 3 months. I do always find that slightly depressing. What else we got? I got a tangerine. I don't know if all our children got tangerines in my stocking. I used to get them in mine. I think, you know, they pretty much always ended up in the bin. We used to tease my mother, which I when we were growing up, given that none of us really wanted the tangerine, we were just surprised that she didn't put a lump of coal in as well. But I think she didn't, because she was worried we'd just get coal dust everywhere. Right, what else we got? Ooh, a bottle of wine. Bottle of wine. Oh, mulled wine. And more wine. I think definitely lots of wine bottles. But, you know, how many bottles will there be in people's Christmas rubbish? You know, how much misery, how many rows and fights will result from them? How many deaths will there be on the road this Christmas because people abuse this stuff? Oh, look, and I've got a broken toy. And this sums up, I think, Christmas for many people. You know, so many people have really high expectations, which are not realised. And by Boxing Day, we can often feel let down, like a toy that's been broken. And there we go. I think that clears out everything from the dustbin. Oh, actually, that's something else in the bottom here. What is this? A present in the bottom of the dustbin. Why would anyone leave a present unopened at Christmas time? You know, and put it in the bin. Everyone knows that presents are to be opened and enjoyed. wonder what is in here. See, we've got this present, Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God with us. The greatest present of all will remain unopened by most people this Christmas. You know, how strange it is that the very person we remember in the story of the Nativity, for whom there was no room in the stable at Bethlehem, the person who we are reading about earlier, the person after whom all these festivities are named, is still left outside most people's hearts and homes this Christmas. And in his gospel, Luke starts by saying that Jesus was born when Caesar Augustus was taking a census of the entire Roman world while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And Luke wanted us to know that the birth of Jesus was an actual event in history which happened at a particular point in time. Jesus was laid in a manger at his birth. He lived and breathed, laughed and cried, loved and died upon the cross for us. And it's really interesting to me that Luke takes two verses to cover the birth of Jesus and 13 verses to tell us about the shepherds. You know, the most significant event in the history of the world is given less space than a bunch of Palestinian farmhands. Why? Well, the revelation of the implication of the birth of Jesus is so important. This is not an ordinary birth. Jesus was not an ordinary man. He was and he is Emmanuel, God with us. But what does it mean that God is with us? You know, so many people see God as distant, aloof, indifferent, maybe even angry. But the message of the angels was that the favor of God rests on us. And although we've done wrong things that have separated us from God, Jesus gave up all his power, his glory, his majesty to be born in a dirty stable in Bethlehem. And God is so good, and we enjoy such favor from him that on the cross, Jesus took the death that we deserved, and he gives us the life that he deserves. And this wonderful gift enables us to have intimate relationship with the God who created us and who loves us so much. And not only does Emmanuel, God with us, enable our sins to be forgiven, but wherever Jesus went in his earthly ministry, people were healed and set free. And it's the same today. Wherever Jesus is invited in, people are healed and set free. And as I was reading through this passage, it struck me, you know, why do we think that the response of the shepherds was a foregone conclusion? Now, admittedly, angel choirs are not a common event, you know, but it was still a huge risk that they took, leaving their sheep unprotected to go and find Jesus. You know, they could, when the angel of choirs appeared, they could have gone, oh, that's nice. That was really pretty music. Oh, weren't we lucky to be the recipients of that? Yeah, let's go and sit by the fire again now. They could have done that. But if the shepherds were prepared to abandon their sheep in the middle of winter, risking attacks by wolves and other things, if they were prepared to do that, what about us? You know, most people, I imagine today, we will sit down and have either a sort of Christmas lunch or Christmas supper, and we will eat until there's nothing we can do except become some sort of beached whale on the couch, you know, watching television, you know, that you eat to the point of complete incapacity. You know, what will we do to go in search of Jesus today? Will we pray and make a conscious decision to turn the affections of our hearts towards him today? God is so good. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. And he wants to meet you. He wants to be with you. He wants to release his love over and through you today. So how will you respond to God's gift to you this Christmas? Will Jesus be left outside your door? These gifts are meant to be received, opened, and enjoyed. So today, should we take the risk that the shepherds took to leave where we're warm, safe, and comfortable, to open the gift of the King of Kings? And whether you've known him for years or you're not sure you know him at all, I'd encourage you to go and to meet him today, to invite him into your heart and your home. And I wish you all a very happy Christmas.